Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure. Like a dream come true for you, I know. I know that's what you're thinking, right? Is you're just pinching yourself. You just can't believe your fortune in being able to listen to the Small Business Advocate Show. I know. No, I haven't been smoking anything, folks, and it's not drinking anything either. This is a natural. This is a natural disgusting high for me. I'm afraid that I get excited when I get a chance to do the show and to talk about small businesses and the challenges and the opportunities that you have and to introduce you. This is what really gets me excited is when I get to introduce you to really smart people like David Dossie, one of the outstanding members of our Brain Trust. David is we would have called him a patent attorney years ago, and he probably still does, but I prefer it. I think they kind of like the idea of intellectual property attorney, because that's actually more accurate. He's with Gallagher and Dossie, and he's our good friend. David, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. Do you ever correct people when they call you a patent attorney?
Well, occasionally, just because that tends to pigeonhole you in only doing patent work.
That's so 20th century, isn't it, David?
Right.
Well, you know, it really is. I mean, it's just, in fact, it's not only, it's just really inaccurate, isn't it? I mean, it's not inaccurate, but it's not comprehensive, is it?
Right. Well, in the past, everyone thought the only value of intellectual property was in patents. And now, you know, in the last 20 years, everyone's realizing that everyone owns intellectual property, and patent is just a small portion of it.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing is, and I have to be honest with you, you know, 20 years ago, when I contemplated a patent attorney, it never occurred to me that being a creative person doesn't have anything to do with, you know, that doesn't mean that I'd actually invent something.
Right.
And so we sort of separate creativity from invention in a way. And so it never occurred to me that I would actually work directly with somebody who was a patent attorney. Most people don't. But as you said, and as I have talked about on the show many times before, in the 21st century, every business owner should know and have a direct relationship with an intellectual property attorney. And I know that you're saying from my mouth to God's ears, right?
Exactly.
But it's true. But however, having said all that, today we're going to talk about inventors, aren't we?
Right. You know, recently there's been this trend of downsizing and outsourcing at large corporations. And, you know, you read about it, it sounds horrible.
It's the best thing that ever happened to small business.
Exactly. And it presents some really unique opportunities for individual inventors and inventors in small companies that really they were just being stonewalled in the past.
Every time I hear of a company laying off 10,000 workers, I know that there are going to be some families that are going to be stressed out, and there are going to be some tough times. And it doesn't make me happy that those people lost their jobs. So I don't find any glee in that. But when I hear about a major company laying off 10,000 workers, I see 1,000 small businesses forming when I hear that.
Exactly. And, you know, inventing has always been tough, and even the more difficult part has been commercializing inventions. And the small inventors and small businesses, you know, when they come up with an invention, the big dream is to take it to an IBM or to take it to, you know, a huge company, General Electric, and license it to them. And in the past, you know, they have a million PhD research and development people, and the feeling has always been, if we didn't invent it here, it's not worth having.
Not invented here. That's the little buzzword that they
use. Exactly.
And even if they didn't say it, it was so entrenched in the culture of those companies that the chances of you actually getting your invention through and approved and purchased by one of those companies was, as an old history professor of mine used to say, like the chances of a wax dog chasing an asbestos cat through hell. Wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and you know, also those I think they finally learned a lot of these companies like Hewlett-Packard, and the research and development departments in the past have not been the most creative environments. You know, they're not generating the real creative ideas that a company needs to keep going.
Paradigm paralysis.
Right.
They have paradigm paralysis because they already believe that, well, for one thing, let's say, David, that they had invented something that was breakthrough, that was watershed stuff that saved the world 10 years ago, but today it's passé, today it's antiquated. Well, they're still thinking about that way of looking at it. They don't want to disrupt their baby. They don't want to hurt their baby, do they?
Exactly.
So they're not gonna let anything else in. When we come back, it's a new day, ladies and gentlemen. A new day, a new dawning for inventors. Lots of new opportunity. When we come back, David's gonna tell you about how to do that, how to make sure that your invention gets a fair hearing. It's 22. We'll be right back. Here's Robert Crady. Take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm so happy. I don't know what to do. Every day I wake up as a small business owner, I'm so happy. Well, okay, there are a couple of days when maybe I haven't been so happy. And sometimes I wake up and I'm not happy. Sometimes when I've got lots of challenges and cash flow issues and employee issues and customers who seem to want everything that they want. All they say is, what's in it for me? And that's the attitude that they have. And so, but I still love what I'm doing, and I know you do too. And David Dossie, I bet you love what you do too, don't you, David?
Absolutely.
Because you're getting to help more and more small business owners, aren't you?
Oh, without a doubt. I'd say more than 50% of our business is definitely small business.
Good for you. By the way, folks, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my newsletter, and I hope you'll check out my blog. That's on the website, top left corner, or go directly to jimsblog.biz. David, you've been there, haven't you?
Absolutely. The blog is very impressive.
Well, I appreciate it. It's different. It's not like anything else that you'll see out there because it's an audio blog, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, folks. David, you have a website. Give it to us, please.
Yes, it's www.invention-protection.com.
All right. Okay, we're talking about some opportunities that you say is out there for inventors, for small inventors. That would you say that a door has been kicked open that was formerly closed, David?
Without a doubt. The trend is now almost all large companies are open to receiving outside ideas. Some of them, or all of them, I should say, have set up procedures to go through to submit an idea to them. But what's even more exciting is there are companies that are really out in the forefront. They are publicizing, you know, and setting up contests that they want to get your inventions, your submissions. And they recognize that, you know, if they put up a $25,000 prize, you know, and they get 1,000 ideas, they've just improved their, you know, chances of success on new products tremendously.
And the next Velcro has got to be in there somewhere, hasn't it?
Without a doubt.
Or the next Teflon, or whatever it might be. Now, you know, this is really exciting from a consumer standpoint too, isn't it, David? Because think of all the inventions that could have maybe made life a lot better that didn't get done because the inventor kept beating his or her head up against the walls of these hidebound corporations, and so it never really went anywhere. So what we were stuck with was what these hidebound engineers in some of these companies, no disrespect intended to them, but we wound up with whatever they came up with.
Right.
Now the world's opening up for a lot of folks, and what I'm saying is over the next 10 years, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, and I talk to people all the time that feel that, inventing, you must have to have a PhD or be an engineer or a scientist. And in fact, you know, a lot of these companies that want your ideas, like one of them was Dial Corporation. Mm-hmm. Another one was like a big office supply company. You don't need any academic credentials to come up with a good office product. You know, if you work in an office, you know what need, you know, what need you have. And if you come up with a good invention, it doesn't matter if you, you know, graduated from seventh grade or you have a PhD.
Well, exactly. And when you've got a situation where sometimes logic and common sense are more important than an engineering degree.
Absolutely.
When you're coming up with new ideas, what about some of these? What about some of these programs that you were talking about, where people? Have you got some examples you can give us where folks can enter a contest?
Well, the Dial company, they have. You can search them on Google or anywhere. You know, they had a.
Who are they? We're not talking about Dial Soap here, are we?
Yes.
Oh, we are?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They had a new product competition, and that was such a success that now they've got an ongoing program, and they even have a section of their website dedicated to this and how you submit your ideas and what could be in it for you. And they've got Dial, along with many other large companies now, have created positions. Like, I know there's a lady there who's the director of technology acquisition. So, you know, they are recognizing the value in getting these ideas from outside of the company, mm-hmm. and are creating positions for people that are specifically there to foster that relationship and develop it with outside inventors.
All right. Now, David, you're my intellectual property attorney, and I'm very happy about that.
Thank you.
But let's say that I have an invention, and I heard about these Dial folks, and I say, now, you know what? I'm sure the Dial folks are really nice people, and they probably would never steal anything from me, but I think I'm gonna trust in God but keep my powder dry anyway. And so I dial up David Dossie, and I say, David, I'm thinking about entering my invention, giving this invention to the Dial folks. What is your advice to me?
Well, usually inventors are often paranoid by nature, you know.
With good reason.
Right. But the fact is, most large companies, especially if they're in this, you know, business of wanting to hear about inventions, they're not out to steal anything.
The last thing they need is some bad PR on that, isn't it?
Exactly. And they set it up so that a lot of times you feel like you're probably getting fed boilerplate agreements that you have to agree to submit your idea, and if you don't want to agree to them, they don't want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine. And, you know, the agreements, I can understand it from their perspective. You just need to review all the forms that you need to sign. And, frankly, I have a list of some steps in working or submitting ideas to large companies that help your chances dramatically.
Can we talk about those on the other side of this break?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Folks, we're going to give you a couple of minutes to get your pens and papers ready or get your computers on so you can start, or pull over to the side of the road so you can start taking some notes here. Or, of course, as you know, you can come back later, because we archive all of our shows. You can come back later and listen to what David said at your convenience. Here's the crazy man, Joe Cocker, to take us out. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend David Dossie. He's the intellectual property attorney in our brain trust, and a good one, too, or he wouldn't be mine. David, I need your website one more time.
It's invention-protection.com.
All right. Invention-protection. You know, David, I got to brag on you a little bit. Folks, one of the things that I like about what David does, and I know he's very busy, but he gives really good service. David, I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't always get that out of all the attorneys I've ever dealt with, so good for you. David, what about this list of things that inventors can do to maximize their chance of success when they're presenting an invention to a corporation?
Sure. The first thing is, you need to just accept that any large company is going to require your invention to be patent pending before they want to listen to you.
So you've already got to have gone through the process to some degree, spend a little money,
right.
And that also means there's at least a prototype somewhere, isn't there?
Well, it doesn't have to be a prototype, but that's another item on my list here.
Oh, sorry about that.
Sure. You have to have at least prepared a patent application and filed it, because that really does, it protects them and it protects you.
It protects you especially. That's
and they're going to want you to sign an agreement that says they don't have to keep your ID confidential. So there, right. There's a lot of
that's how it protects them. They don't have to worry about you getting out of the cat, getting out of the box. But basically, it certainly protects you, doesn't it?
Right. And right. So you just got to understand that you've got to have that done. No one's going to sign a confidentiality agreement at a large company to hear an idea that's not, in some form, filed for protection.
Because otherwise, until you get a patent pending, you're just some guy with an idea.
Right. And as soon as you tell it to someone that hasn't signed a long agreement, you're just giving it away.
Well, not only that, but if you've got patent, if you're patent pending, they know you're sort of serious.
Exactly.
All right, what's next?
The second one's what you brought up. You really, to file a patent application, you don't have to have built the invention. But let's face it, if you want a large company to take you serious, you got to spend the money to have a working model. You know, and that's easier with some inventions than others, but if it's an office product invention, I'd have to guess that for under $5,000, you could make a prototype of almost any office product.
They really don't, I mean, why would they deal with you without something that looks like it's sort of ready to go when they've got others that are? I mean,
right.
They've got to do some triage, don't they?
And you've got to have something to touch and feel more than just
right.
a piece of paper with some
right.
drawings.
Right. All right, what else?
The third one is may sound odd, but they've got to be willing to license or sell the idea. A lot of inventors are in the mindset of being shot down repeatedly. So when someone shows some interest, they get a little skeptical. They get nervous. And then they start thinking, well, maybe I can do this on my own. And they get a little greedy. And you've got to be willing to, if someone's going to present you with an offer, you know, take it serious and recognize that this may be the only offer you're going to get.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is, you know, one of the most dangerous things is an inventor who thinks he wants to be a manufacturer.
Right. And you don't want to try to say that you're taking it and their competition is interested in it. Because, you know, when you're creating these false competition between
right.
competitors, you end up being the ultimate loser.
Do you ever take a project like this to a company for one of your customers, one of your clients? Take it and negotiate for them?
We will negotiate for them, but as a law firm, you try to stay out of the marketing aspect of
right.
inventions.
My point is, I guess, if it was something really hot, you know, would it be better if you had somebody to represent you and to say, you know what, we're taking, you know, we're shopping this around and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, and there are, especially if you're not a good salesman, you know, get a
right.
marketing person to do
that. Or
this
maybe
for you.
you're too much in love with what you have. You know, that's
exactly.
possible. You can love what you have so much that you become your own worst enemy, you know?
Right. Right.
I've actually been in that position before, by the way. Any more? Were there three steps?
Just a couple more.
Okay.
You got to keep your expectations reasonable. A lot of people feel like they have the million-dollar idea, and it may be a million-dollar idea after 10 years of sales, but don't
mm-hmm.
expect that up front.
Right.
You've got to accept that the person that wants to license in your technology, they have to make money,
right.
or they're not going to sell your product.
Mm-hmm.
So expect them to want to make at least as much as you want to make.
Right.
And then the last one is you've got to keep inventing. No one comes up with the million-dollar idea on their first invention. Or if you do, you're extremely lucky.
We know about five or six things that Thomas Edison invented, but that changed the world. But he probably had about 10,000 inventions.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. David, give us your website one more time.
It's www.invention-protection.com.
Good stuff today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Next time you come back, you're going to have some inventions that the celebrities came up with. I want to hear about that next time. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Will do.
David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, inventors too. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.